It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Well, it seems surreal to say it, Michael Lombardi, but it's Super Bowl Sunday. Finally, it is upon us as we say good morning and welcome to the show. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the Circus Studios here in Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi, of course. It is the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN, the sports betting network. Super Bowl 57, like my girl Rose said in the Titanic. It's been 84 years leading up to this game. Yeah. Good morning, Michael Lombardi.
It feels like it, right? I mean,
are
my
you kidding
Lord,
me?
It feels
come
like
on.
It, you know?
And by the way, we've got hours to go until the game.
I know.
So let's do it.
A lot of chickens are going to give up their life today, I could tell you that.
Chicken prices
this is
are
a
down
chicken
17.
Wing.
Chicken wings are down 17%, though. You can afford them this year. How are we doing? Good morning.
We're doing great. We're doing great. Looking forward to it. Yeah, I mean, we're excited for the day. Excited to be here at the Circa. Greatest, one of the great sports books of all time here to...
Yep.
As a backdrop, and looking forward to the game. I think as we all kid about, Patrick, nobody, you know, there's a scene in The Sopranos where they're looking for Big Puss and they can't find him, and they have nobody knows nothing,
right?
Everybody handicaps the game their way with a tagline, but they have Mahomes.
They have Mahomes. They have
which is almost gives you the chance to say, well,
it's cheating, is what it is. It's giving yourself an out.
It's the old, you know, when I was in the personnel and would read scouts' reports, they would always kind of position themselves. If the player turned out good, they could say, see, I had it right. And if the player turned out bad, see, I had it right. You know, I can go either way with it. So, look, I think we all know this. But it was funny. We were talking beforehand. Joe Montana, who I had the pleasure of being around and watching him and competing with, and he was kind enough to win a game to give me my first Super Bowl ring, and I am forever appreciative of that. And he was never an underdog in a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And never lost a Super Bowl and didn't throw an interception in the Super Bowl. So, and obviously he wasn't in someone's top five quarterbacks of all time. We'll get to that later. But the point here is what I'm making is everybody loves the Eagles and they love Mahomes, but they're just not ready to go the Montana way with Mahomes.
Well, this will be the first time, to your point, Michael Lombardi, that Patrick Mahomes is a dog in the postseason. We'll get to that. Also, this is the first team in the Chiefs since 2004, some symmetry. The Eagles back in 2004, you remember it well, 04 Eagles, Patriots, Patriots win the Super Bowl. The Eagles entered the postseason as the favorites to win the championship. They closed as a dog in the Super Bowl. That's where the Chiefs sit today. Let's get to the numbers, and you and I joked as we got here this morning, here comes the Chiefs money. Remember, the public is going to bet leading up to the game, and that's what we're starting to see. We're starting to see this number come back to the Chiefs a little bit. Nationally, it's 1.5, but here in Vegas, most shops are sitting with the Eagles laying 1. Remember, for a full week, we had a freeze on that number at 1.5. We're seeing it now kind of peak back to the Chiefs. I've got percentages here for you, Michael Lombardi, over at BetMGM. We're reporting 65% of the handle on the Eagles and 65% of the bet. So right there with 65 on both on Eagles. That is down from about 80% last night. So we're starting to see that Chiefs money come in here.
Yeah, I mean, here on our board, the line is still 50.5. There's a lot of shops where it's up to 51.5. A lot of shops. Circa here is at 1. DraftKings in New Jersey, not surprising. They're still at 1.5. Mm-hmm. A lot of Eagle money there. A lot of the Jersey shops are still at 1.5, but that over total was ticked up to 51. So, look, I think this is a game where it's two really good football teams. The spread's probably not going to matter. We're focused so much time on the spread, it's not going to matter. Pick the winner.
Well,
just pick the winner.
If I could back you up on that, team that wins the Super Bowl, 47-7-2 against the spread. So if you're confident the team's going to win it, just bet the team to cover.
And
that's
what
it comes down to.
The Chiefs' money line is plus 105. The Eagles are minus 125. So, you know, there you have it, Patrick. So pick the winner. Forget the line movement. Forget steam, because there is no steam in this game. I think one thing we've learned in the 84 years leading up to this game
good job, Michael.
is that all this money that was being moved around, the lines moving around, is because of future bet offsets, which has nothing to do with who likes the game and who doesn't like the game.
Book to book, every number is going to be a little bit different, shaded one way or the other because of the liability they have on the futures. Okay, let me set you up officially here. Remember, if you go to VSiN.com, the daily, your boy Bill AD was all over it today.
He's the best.
You get the trends. You can go to the Billy Walters interview. The link's right there. You can get the prop analyzer. It's organized very neatly. It's free now.
We need a day in the life of Bill AD, like where he writes this email from.
Most interesting man in the world.
Like when is he inspired? You know, Hemingway would get up early when the sun rose and he would walk across this deck into his writing room and stand up and type. But you wonder how Bill AD pulls off this email with his little quirky comment. I mean, it's so brilliant.
I don't think we'll ever learn. However, we do know this, and we have learned. We're going to have Stormy joining us. Looking forward to talking to our girl Stormy. Thomas Gable's going to join. Femi Abebefe is going to be in studio. Soren Petro from Kansas City side, and then Marcus Hayes.
Who predicted the Eagles would be 19-1 going into this game.
You know, it's what's funny about Marcus Hayes, longtime columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Michael Lombardi, who you read and you know, living in Ocean City, New Jersey. He came on before the season started and joked about 19-0, and now here they are sitting here 16-3. So it's not like the Eagles.
Well, we were all joking about it. I mean, look, let's be clear.
Yes.
It didn't take a genius to figure out they had a Gonzaga schedule. I mean, when you
we
look
throw
at
it
that,
up. There
I mean,
it is.
When you
There's
look
a schedule
at it, you're like, okay, maybe the Viking game's going to be a hard one. You know, nobody really thought the Cowboys two games. The Packers, I guess, probably thought that would be a hard game. I mean, I wouldn't have suspected they lose at home to the Commanders. But, I mean, you know, the schedule, when you looked at it, it was, as Matty Heumann said yesterday, it was enticing to bet the over total on their schedule. We all talked about it all summer long.
Okay, but one thing, two angles, and I'll start here. Because I think this defense for the Eagles, maybe, as Chris Sims said on the show, possibly a little overrated, Michael Lombardi, just because they played on the front foot. They played in front all year. However, and this is from your buddy Rick Goslin, 48 of the 56 Super Bowl champions have finished in the top 10 in scoring defense. This year, the Eagles finished 8th in the NFL in scoring defense, the Chiefs 16th. Let me follow that up. Teams that rush for more yards historically win and cover in the Super Bowl. The team that rushes for more yards, 39-14-3, 76% clip in the Super Bowl. The Eagles this year on the ground, 5th in rush yards, 147-6. The Chiefs, 20th, 115-9. But I know you've heard the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. But yeah. I just told you, a better scoring defense and a better rush offense for the Eagles, it adds up to an Eagles win in the Super Bowl. Also the spread right now says the Eagles, but the other X factor would always be Mahomes.
You know, I've known Rick since 1985. I met him in Mike Gottfried's house when Mike was the head coach of the University of Pittsburgh. And I have had a wonderful relationship with Rick. He's on the Hall of Fame committee. He's been a valuable resource, and he is really good at breaking down games. And I've talked to him pretty much most of my life and as we go into Super Bowls. And he has always been a proponent of defensive football wins these games, which I couldn't agree more with them. But I think the rushing numbers, you've got to peel that back a little bit. And here's why. Most teams that are winning the rushing battle are because the scoreboard is their opponent, not the opponent. Mm-hmm. So you're going to run the ball when you have the lead, as opposed to just running the ball. That stat to me, I throw that second stat out. I love his first stat.
Love to hear it.
The second stat to me is only because you're in the lead. The Walsh concept, what Bill Walsh believed, everybody thinks the West Coast offense is 20 bingo cross, smash flare 7, all that stuff. It's not. It is we are going to throw the ball in the first half to get the lead, and we are going to run the ball in the second half to maintain the lead. And that's what the Eagles do as well as anybody, and so do the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs don't run it because they just put the ball in Mahomes' hand and say, take over, Patrick. Mm-hmm. But that's, to me, what you look at. And in this game, the Eagles' defense has to shine. Let's go back to Dallas. Dallas threw for, what, 347 against them. Dak was really good. Spread the ball around. They didn't really run it as well. I mean, Pollard was part of the passing game. They sacked Prescott 6 times in that game. It didn't really matter.
Right.
It didn't matter. But the reality was their defense turned over Minshew. So you've got to balance that a little bit in that point.
Okay, but we can say this. We don't know how the Eagles will react. And we've talked about the soft schedule. You call it a Gonzaga schedule through the postseason as well. They've been dominant. You know, the Giants obviously weren't supposed to be there this year. But you take a look at a Philly team. We talked about the defense playing from in front, but I told you yesterday, how about the quarterback in Jalen Hurts? 22 throws total while trailing this year. If they get behind early, and the team that scores first in the Super Bowl is a staggering, they've won 68% of the time. So if the Chiefs get up early, and this is a defense that hasn't played from behind and a quarterback that hasn't played from behind, that's when it's going to get interesting.
Yeah, and it's going to get interesting if we get into the fourth quarter and they have to play catch up in the fourth. And when you're in the fourth, you know, who has that lead in the fourth is going to matter. We see this when they played Cincinnati, Kansas City. They had to punt the ball back to Cincinnati. It was a fourth down play, and they had to punt it back to Cincy. Kept the ball for the remaining 6 minutes of the game and won the game. So the Eagles have to have the ball in the fourth quarter with the lead and be able to convert those third and shorts, fourth and shorts, all those to win the game. If Mahomes walks on the field with 4 minutes to go in the game and he's down 4, I'd be nervous if I'm an Eagle fan.
100%. 100. Are you saying, Michael Lombardi, but the Chiefs have Patrick
they
Mahomes?
They have Patrick Mahomes.
Look, did you hear?
I think, to me, I'm from the Rick Goslin belief. I think defense is ultimately going to be the determining factor. That Eagle front has to dominate. The Eagle front has to dominate.
Both teams 16-3, got the highest scoring team in the AFC and the Chiefs, the highest scoring team in the NFC and the Eagles. Do we have, as we kind of get the show going here and take off, do we have the two best teams in the NFL, Super Bowl 57 with Riri at halftime today? Are these the two best teams?
I do. I think we do have the best. I think there's no doubt. And I think it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a chess match on grass. It's going to be a lot of adjustments. It's going to be interesting. I think we talked about this yesterday. One of the reasons why points don't get scored in the first 6 minutes of Super Bowls is because usually teams come out with a little bit of a different look, a different flair, a different style, and they try to catch the other team off guard. And I think we'll see a lot of that today in the first half.
As you know, I'm sitting next to Sports Writing's Hemingway, Michael Lombardi. Well, guess what? He wrote the script, and we've been pausing for 84 years. He's finally going to give his official play right here. Well,
Matty Humans gave it out yesterday.
No, don't say it. Don't say it. We're pretending that didn't happen. We're going to go straight to KC.
He went right to it, too. He didn't even mess around.
Soren Petro next here, then Stormy.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a VSiN Big Game Betting Update. Here is Stormy Bonantoni.
Eagles Chiefs Super Bowl 57 upon us in a matter of hours. This is a line we saw open up as high as Kansas City -2.5, but in a matter of seconds, that thing was on the move. Got as high as Eagles, a 2.5-point favorite. But now we are seeing over the last week, Philadelphia largely holding pat at a 1.5-point number. We are seeing some ones out there. The total 50.5 and 51. A big question for Kansas City, though, coming into this game was the status of their receiving core. While we know Mecole Hardman is on the injured reserve list, it appears Kadarius Toney and Juju Smith-Schuster both good to go in this one. Starting corner L'Jarius Sneed was limited earlier in the week, but also appears to help out that young KC secondary. For those worried about MVP quarterback Patrick Mahomes, he practiced in full every day this week. For the Eagles, likewise, Jalen Hurts was dealing with that shoulder injury that kept him out of two games to close out the regular season before getting back that last game and the playoffs. But he has not had an injury designation to this point this week. The only player who is injured on the list for the Eagles, Britton Covey, return man questionable with the hamstring. So Avante Maddox and Lane Johnson set to play as expected. Betting on the Super Bowl nationwide, we believe, will be up 61% from last year. The predictions, $16 billion, meaning 50 million plus people betting on the big game. Now we're going to send it back over to Circa Resort and Casino and the Lombardi Line.
I'm just happy you made it out of Phoenix alive, Stormy, the most popular person in all of Phoenix. Although she doesn't pick up a beer. I had to buy all the beers, but
yeah,
she made it out.
Everybody was there trying to get
you wouldn't
autograph.
Let me live.
Take it easy, Stormy, as we welcome you back. The number right now, here comes the Chiefs money. And speaking of the Chiefs,
So Ren Petro, of course, the guy in the middays there and Drive Time in Kansas City. He's a friend of the show. He's been on before, of course, host in Kansas City on the radio. And we talked about it, Seren. We talked about here comes the Kansas City money. Remember, the public's going to bet leading up to the Super Bowl on Sunday. You're starting to see that number come back a little bit to one on the Chiefs. We talked about, I don't know if there's a disrespect angle here, Seren, for Patrick Mahomes, but it looks like he's going to go off as a dog for the first time in his postseason career.
I think it's more of a memory angle, right? Like when last you saw Patrick Mahomes in this game, he was getting, you know, running for his life, getting beaten up by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think that's part of what's at play. I think it's a different scenario here. The Eagles defense is getting a lot of play, and rightfully so, 70 sacks, albeit against largely a list of has-beens, never-were's, and never-will-be quarterbacks.
I like it.
Other than Dak Prescott, who hung 40 on him, and 33 from Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, they're very good, and I think people are expecting, I think the people that are pounding the Eagles are expecting a similar game to what happened against the Bucs. And this is a very different offensive line that's reworked and healthy, unlike the one that played against the Bucs 2 years ago.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that's the angle that everybody's playing, right? You know, that the Eagles' defense has to dominate, although when you do peel back a little bit, can they dominate? They didn't dominate against Green Bay. They play from in front so darn much that it's hard to really see if they have to slug it out. And with Patrick being healthy, as you know, and these receivers, that's the question I have. As you're from your sources, how healthy are these receivers? One thing about playing the game, it's another thing about getting through the game and playing at a high level. I think they need Tony badly. Talk about his injury and what you think and expect from him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, the guy's brittle. I don't think there's any way to you know, sugarcoat that. He had injury problems with the Giants, and he's had them with Kansas City. So even if they start, one of the scary things is, you know, and the Chiefs went through this with Sammy Watkins. He'd miss four games every year, and then there'd be four other games he'd beg out, and then you burned one of your roster spots, one of your active roster spots that day. And that's kind of the fear here that they're going to have to juggle. It happened to him with Juju Smith-Schuster in the AFC Championship game. They thought he was ready to go with the knee. He even had $1 million incentive to do it. Win the AFC Championship game, play 50% of the snaps, he gets $1 million. He couldn't get through it. He only played 40% of the snaps, and he's got the same bonus for this Super Bowl as well. So you know he wants to play. That's the fear. Is he saying he can go because there's $1 million out there for him to get when he goes out there? They've got to be very careful about the injury side of it and make sure whoever they do send out there is going to be able to play. If that means you got to come down to Justin Watson, then you come down to Justin Watson, but make sure that you don't line up. They had a three wide, Michael, one time I looked out there against the Bengals, and their three wide was Noah Gray. It was Marcus Kemp, a special teams gunner, and it was Jody Fortson. There were no wide receivers on the field, and that's when they kind of went dormant offensively in that third quarter. So they've got to make sure they've got wideouts who can actually play going in this game.
And I think that's what's affected the line. I think the fact that Mahomes was injured in Cincinnati, I think the fact that he had no receivers, and the last look we had of the Chiefs wasn't an impressive look. If it's not for the 29-yarder by Moore, they may not even be in this game. I think that's what's affected the line, not the lens of the whole season and looking at that. I think it's that last impression.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that plays into it. And I think there's also just kind of the story that's been written all year, right? Like this is the Eagles Super Bowl to win. They very quickly, about week four or five, are the only undefeated team, and they became the scenario that everybody was talking about. And the Chiefs had kind of fallen off. And the Chiefs storyline was, how do they possibly overcome Tyreek Hill? They're supposed to regress back to the pack. So this isn't the story that's been written all year. Chiefs win again. But here we sit, and they're knocking on that door. And so I think, you know, when you work backwards from, hey, I've had the Eagles winning this thing all along, and I kind of ruled the Chiefs out, which I think a lot of people did, then they work backwards from that and come to the conclusion, okay, that's what's going to happen. How do I get there? Well, this Eagles defensive line will be too much for the Chiefs offensive line. Their offensive line, the Eagles offensive line, will be too much for the Chiefs defensive line. And the Eagles might be better on both sides of the ball, but the margin is much closer than I think people are painting it. The Eagles gave up 44 sacks. The Chiefs offensive line gave up 26. You don't hear that very often. It's all about how great the Eagles' offensive line is. But, you know, the Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes, quarterbacks are a big part of, you know, not taking sacks. With Patrick Mahomes, that offensive line, I think, is better than is being advertised going into this game.
Boy, Soren, you woke up with an edge today. If the Chiefs have the edge, like Eagles 70 sacks, but you mentioned the Chiefs were great with the pass block win rate. So, again, Soren, their WHB in Kansas City's got a little edge today. We'll see if the Chiefs do. I don't know how to measure this. 2 years ago, Kansas City, Andy Reid was a disaster in the game. We understand what happened personally with the accidents. You carry that over into the game. The halftime adjustments were there. Michael talks about the tackles, obviously backups, maybe the toe with Mahomes. I wonder if that lingers. They didn't perform well 2 years ago. Does that linger and they want to prove something here?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I think the 2 weeks were good for them because the Bengals game was such a giant game for this team. You know, we talked before that game about how the Bengals have been talking all week. They lost three straight to them. And, yeah, I think there was a little fear coming out of that game. Did they just play their Super Bowl? Was the Bengals game, did they put so much into it and getting over the Bengals? Because it was the one team, the first team ever, really, in the Mahomes era that could put their thumb on them and say, we got you. And so there was a lot that went into it. But now I think – you know, the narratives nationally, this is a team that's playing in its third Super Bowl in 4 years, has a two-time MVP at only 27 years old, and they're the underdog, and most people are picking the Eagles. At least that's how they hear it. I think they've done them a service and creating that us against the world mentality for a team that's, you know, if they win, will be on the brink of starting a dynasty. You usually don't find yourself in an underdog role, you know, carrying the MVP into the game.
No doubt. I mean, I think that's, you know, but that's everybody's out in this game. Is everybody, look, we like the Eagles, but they have Patrick Mahomes. I just think, to me, if this game gets in the fourth quarter and it's a one score game in the fourth, the quarterbacking of Mahomes and Reed's offense and the ability for Mahomes to make plays off scripted is often going to be the difference in the game.
Yeah, I mean, he's the point guard that you love if you're a basketball coach, that you can just give him the ball. There's 10 seconds. We know we're going to get a 45% shot because he's that good. That's what Patrick Mahomes does. Add in that Andy Reid's the best play designer, does a fantastic job with his week of game preparation. And so you get, you know, you got to beat the Chiefs twice on offense. You have to beat Andy Reid's schemes, figure out how to reverse engineer those. I know Vic Fangio has had some success. He was winless as a head coach of the Denver Broncos against the Chiefs, but, you know, his defenses have had some success. He was one of the first guys to really throw that shell over the top on him, but they've gotten a lot better at doing that. The entire offseason was Andy Reid redesigning the offense to attack that kind of defense. So I think it's an interesting matchup, and I think, you know, if you can get Andy Reid, that's great, but Patrick Mahomes, just with sidearm throws and scrambling around, we'll see how much he can run around, but he should be more mobile than he was against the Bengals. And we saw on the run that clinched the field goal try for the Kansas City Chiefs, it was the fastest he'd run all year. So he put the pain out of his mind and clocked his best running speed to get that first down. So he's at least got mobility when he's got to have it, and he's the ultimate wild card. Even if you get Andy Reid, he can still beat you. So they're very difficult to stop.
Two-part question to finish it. Chiefs fans, nervous or confident? And then let's get a prediction.
Yes. I think they are nervous and confident. It depends on which one. You know, they haven't settled into the role of being Patriots fans, of just, you know, wearing the black hat, announcing, hey, we're here to drink your whiskey and take your women and go home with the victory. They haven't quite gotten to that point yet, right? That's still a work in progress, but they're starting to feel it. So I think there's a level of confidence out of the fan base. But they know it's going to be a tough game, and they've heard a lot about the Eagles. As far as my prediction, like, listen, I know this is going to sound like Homer Central, but there's no point in picking the game right around the spread, right? I hate it when people give me a 1 or 2 point pick. Give me the Chiefs 34-20. I think this is a game that either team can win by double digits. If one of the defenses has a day in the takeaway category and they get to +1 or +2, then I think that's where you get the margin. The Chiefs have forced 8 takeaways in the last 4 games, so I'll say they take it away. I don't think Jalen Hurts is healthy. I don't think he can beat him over the top. They stop the run. They win
34-20. 34-20, WHB, 2-6.
Great job.
Seren Petro.
Awesome.
Thank you, Seren. Appreciate you very much. My man came out with an edge.
He did. He's ready to go. He's got the Vic Fangio angle, too, there.
If the Chiefs will come back and talk about the Vic Fangio angle next. Also, 3rd and short. Chiefs not very good, so Ren, plug your ears. And who wins the middle 8? That's next with Michael Lombardi. Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Brent, thank you. The big game is the perfect time for football fans to join the huddle with BetMGM. You sign up today, place a $10 wager on either team to win. Regardless of your wager's outcome, you'll receive $100 in bonus bets instantly. Just use the bonus code SB100 when you make your first bet. Get on the field. Get in the game right now. Nothing beats BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. SB100 is the code. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available, Mississippi, Nevada, New York. We are finally here. It's exciting to be here on Super Bowl Sunday. Of course, Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. This is the Lombardi Line. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A longtime columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Marcus Hayes. We call him Old 19-0 Marcus on the show, because as we say hi to Marcus again, now we've added a week, But we joked before the season started. He said Philadelphia fans were confident. They had him going 19-0. Now, 20-0 if they win the Super Bowl here, based on your prediction. Where are the Eagles fans as we head into Super Bowl 57? Is the confidence there? Are the polls greased?
You know, it's absolutely the polls are greased. It's so different from the last time they were in the Super Bowl after the 2017 season. This group of Eagles fans expects them to run away with the game. The only way it's close is if there's a backdoor cover, you know, that sort of thing. It's a weird experience having optimistic, energetic, confident Philadelphia fans. I've been there 28 years. I've never seen confidence like this, period. They just think that they're going to – they think they're going to win, and it's a nice change, to tell you the truth. You know, I will say that they were, I think, more leery last week than they were this week or 2 weeks ago when they played the Niners.
Yeah, I mean, there is a sense that they're catching Mahomes injured and they're able to – their matchup favors them because of the defensive front and their ability to rush and create problems when Mahomes lost his Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers down in Tampa. But let's talk about the Vic Fangio factor. Adam Schefter reported today that Vic had signed a 2-week contract with the Eagles to help them prepare. But it's been my understanding all year Vic's been helping Jonathan Gannon kind of change, be involved in the defense, and help him out and kind of getting a diversified portfolio to stay out of the shell, stay out of all the zones. What can you tell us about Vic's role?
Well, what we've noticed, and we don't have access to Vic, what we've noticed, and Jonathan doesn't really divulge much, we've noticed them be a little bit more, not aggressive, but assertive. I think aggressive means you're going to blitz, blitz, blitz. They don't have any blitzers. Their best blitzer is Avante Maddox, who's got turf toe, and their second best blitzer is C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who you don't want to lose in coverage. He leads the league in interceptions. So we've seen a little bit more press coverage. We've seen quarterbacks less it's harder for them to get rid of the ball 1-2 go. And that's kind of the Vic Fangio effect that we've seen with Jonathan Gannon. And the cornerbacks love it. They absolutely love it. Maddox played last week. Gardner Johnson played safety. And you had Bradbury and Slay on the outside. And if you look at that film, they're noticeably closer to the line of scrimmage much more frequently.
Yeah, no doubt they are. And I think that when you go back last year, when Gannon's defense played against the six really good quarterbacks, Brady twice, Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, Dak and Dak Prescott twice. When you look at those games, the ball was only on the ground 36 times, incomplete passes in those games. So they have to change something, and you could see it. And bringing Vic in, you think, well, Vic knows Andy. But the difference here is I don't think Andy's offense is what it was last year. We're talking about the cover two shell. That was to keep Tyreek Hill from beating you. Tyreek Hill killed him in that last game in Philadelphia. You remember that, Marcus? He had, 182 yards? So to me, I think this is a little bit of a different, and I think we're making too much out of the Vic influence. It's going to come down to can they cover?
Absolutely. And this is a different cast of receivers. But Patrick Mahomes is better, too. That's, you know, that we talk about Jalen Hurts' improvement year to year from last year to this year, and it's been massive. I don't know about you, Mike. I've never seen anything like it. He's just so much better in so many areas. But Patrick Mahomes is an elite passer now. He's an elite quarterback. And Fletcher Cox is a defensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles for the last 11 or 12 years. He makes his money on how quickly the quarterback gets rid of the ball. He says that this Patrick Mahomes is frustrating because he is about 90% correct about where he's going to go with the ball before the snap. He's becoming Tom Brady. So that's the big issue with Patrick Mahomes, losing weapons but gaining expertise, I guess.
So Marcus Hayes, Philadelphia Inquirer, lay out the Andy Reid angle for us. You know him well. You covered him his whole career there. What does this mean to him?
Well, this is a Hall of Fame coach who's about to go up on Rushmore. I mean, if he wins two Super Bowls, there's only like 10 or 11 guys who've done that. And there's no thinking that he won't win three or four, which puts him on the Rushmore. It makes him the second best coach of his generation after Belichick. And I never thought I'd be saying that after, you know, meeting this guy in the bowels of Veterans Stadium, you know, asking me where he should get his hair cut in Philadelphia. He's not an imposing person, but you don't need, he's had kind of proof that you don't need to be imposing. You just need to be smart and consistent and be the real deal. And Andy is that. So vis-a-vis Philadelphia, when Andy left in 2012, after 2012 season, he needed to go. They had they'd made this team. They called it the Dream Team, right? And it was a nightmare. I think they won 12 games in two seasons. They went 12-20. Andy's son overdosed on drugs, on team property. He was a strength coach. He had steroids in the room. It was a whole huge mess. He had to go. And Philadelphia was a pretty amicable split. Most people in Philadelphia still remember Andy Reid fondly, and they'll be happy for him to win, you know, 2, 3, 4 Super Bowls, but just not this one.
Yeah, just not this one. I agree. And I agree. That was, you know, it was a, sometimes the coach kind of runs his course, you know, and I think there was a time where Jeff Lurie, Marcus, I think this week said that he felt like he waited a year too long.
Absolutely. But, you know, he couldn't not wait too long because they had just invested all these assets. I mean, they'd gotten Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie and Nnamdi Asamoah to, you know, to play cornerback for 2 years. And the big issue back then was Andy Reid took his very accomplished, you know, elite offensive line coach, Juan Castillo, who played linebacker in college, and made him the defensive coordinator. And by the middle of the second year, that was in 2011 and 2012, he had to fire Juan and promote Todd Bowles. So it was Jeffrey says that, but in real time, it was never going to happen. They went 8-8 with the Dream Team first year, and then they went 4-12. But there was no way they were going to invest all those assets and then fire a coach who'd been to, you know, 4 or 5 NFC Championship games and had $100 million quarterback in Michael Vick.
Is Hurts healthy? Give me a percentage, Marcus. Is Jalen Hurts healthy?
I think he's maybe 80%. I think he's where he was after coming out of the long break for the second Giants game. He beat the Giants to finish the season. Then 2 weeks later, he beat them to win the divisional game. I think he's there. I think he had a setback against San Francisco. He's hit a few times. He didn't have a lot of velocity on the ball in the second half. He was probably 75% in that game. He's probably back to 80.
Would it surprise you if he had off-season shoulder surgery?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I've got two bad shoulders, and there are things you can do to work around them. But when you're young and you have the, you know, 6 months, 7 months to recover, and it can be good forever, you don't have to worry about prehab. You don't have to worry about all that other stuff. I'd be surprised if he doesn't have some sort of procedure in the offseason. I don't know how bad it is, but we're talking about a guy who didn't have a gun to begin with. So he needs to be as fit as he can be, even if that means 2 or 3 weeks missed in 2023.
Prediction time. We just had KC, Soren Petro on, 34-20. Philadelphia Inquirer. You've been there forever, Marcus. What do you got?
Which team did he take?
He took Kansas City, 34-20.
Oh, my goodness, two touchdowns. I see it the opposite way. We haven't talked about the Eagles' offensive line, which is not only the best offensive line in football right now, even with Lane Johnson dinged up a little bit with a torn groin muscle. It's probably aggregate the best offensive line in football since around 2017. And there's no change in that. And you a lot of the plays that Jalen makes and a lot of the plays that Miles Sanders makes is because this offensive line across the board is elite. So I can't see them not possessing the ball more than Kansas City. And because of that, I see them maybe scoring 33 points and giving up, I don't know, 25. So 33-25. It's an odd number.
I like it.
But that's my take.
Well, in these games, especially the way Sirianni might go for two, the odd number might be in
Sirianni play. And exactly. Reed are both weird, and they're going to do weird things.
The
There's going to
be
a
play,
weird
yeah.
score. By the way, two banged up shoulders, and you made it through the interview. Good job by you,
way
Marcus Hayes. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Philadelphia
Marcus.
Inquirer. You're the best.
Thanks so much, Marcus.
Help all year. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you guys soon.
There you go. All right. So we're opposite ends of the spectrum from
Shocking.
Philly.
Shocking.
However, like, you know, I don't know if Philadelphia media, including you, my friend, I don't know if they really pull for the Eagles, because that fan base can be so grating and overwhelming
yeah.
and insufferable.
Oh, yeah. If you say the wrong word, I mean, if you don't give them enough love.
You're going to have hide, my
it's
man.
Not enough, it's not that you like them. You have to give them more love than ever. I mean, it's really remarkable.
We got Michael's prediction coming up. Plenty more to come.
I already gave it yesterday by
I know.
Matt Humans.
Stormy as well on the way back. Also, middle eight. And third and short, I promise we're getting to it. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a VSiN Big Game Betting Update. Here is Stormy Bonantoni.
The countdown continues to Super Bowl 57, Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl Sunday coming up in just a few hours. Eagles have held as a 1.5-point favorite, pretty steady over the last 10 days, but we are seeing some ones pop, total sitting 51. And speaking of action, it is the Super Bowl, and that means props. What are some of the most bet props over at BetMGM? Well, Kenneth Gainwell, over 19.5 rush yards, minus 110, currently the most bet player prop out there. Gainwell has surpassed this number in three straight games, combined for 160 yards on 26 rush attempts so far this postseason. RB1 Miles Sanders, over 61.5 rush yards, also getting a lot of action. Bettors seem to think that the Eagles' top-ranked pass defense can intercept Patrick Mahomes, but that he's still going to get his when it comes to yards. Lots of action on the over 294.5 passing yards. When it comes to the touchdown market, first touchdowns, who doesn't love these? Travis Kelce getting so many tickets, ladies and gentlemen, and deservedly so. He scored first for Kansas City 8 times this season, Six of those have been the first of the game. Cash this ticket for bettors in both the divisional round and conference championship games as well. But the next four most bet options, they are all coming in Eagles. A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders, and Dallas Goedert. Philadelphia, the best team in the NFL this season, scoring on opening drives. 62 points on opening drives to lead the league. Now, as we send it back over to Circa Resort and Casino, and my guys, Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher, do we think that that trend can continue? Can the Eagles find their way in the end zone early? What do you guys think?
You know, I kind of do. An interesting side note we're not talking about. I know Shane Steichen's going to be the head coach of the Colts, right?
So, are you breaking news here?
No, I'm not breaking it. I mean,
but you said you know. Steichen's going
to
be.
95.5%.
Put your name out there, Lombardi. Don't be scared.
You know, so he's going to be the head coach of the Colts. So I don't think that deterred his preparation for the game plan. So they've been very good at figuring out how to start the game quickly. The problem is Spagnuolo is a little unpredictable. He's the unconventional swordsman. So I think that I kind of get the sense that's going to be the key emphasis of their defense is we got to stop them in the first quarter. Stormy, you gave out all those picks. You didn't give out the puppy bowl, but we'll forgive you for that. What's your favorite prop? What are you going
My with? Favorite prop, oh, there's so many. That's the thing about the Super Bowl, right? I want to bet just about everything. But I think my favorite prop might be for the shortest touchdown to be under a yard and a half. I know it's juiced pretty heavy, but I think it's like six of the last seven Super Bowls have had a goal line touchdown. So that was one I really liked.
I like that. Yeah.
Puppy Bowl picks, I'm still up in the air. I like Josh Allen Hound. I like Bacon. I like Barnaby. Yeah. What were some of those names, Michael?
I think I have Espresso.
He was reading the list for like 20 minutes during
the
break.
I mean they got a deep roster in Puppy Bowl today at 2 o'clock on Discovery. You can watch it. I mean, I don't understand how Bella didn't get in that.
Question.
Millie's oversight on not entering Bella in this game.
Question for both you, Stormy and Michael Lombardi. Chris Stapleton, country singer, national anthem. The number's been set at 2 minutes and 5 seconds. Last year, Mickey Guyton, don't know him, but he sang the national anthem in 1:50. Jasmine Sullivan, Eric Church sang it in 2:16 the year prior. 2:05 for Stapleton. Stormy, are you a fan of Chris Stapleton?
I mean, how could you not be? It's Chris Stapleton.
Good answer.
But in terms of like how long the song is going to go, like this is your moment, right? It is Super Bowl national anthem. You're going to milk that for as much as you've got, right? Like my thought is always leaning toward the over when it comes to the length of time for the anthem.
All right, let's go a little trend here. Eric Church, great writer, great songwriter, wrote the song Springsteen. If you never listened to it, wonderful song. He went 2:14. You said country singer.
Yep.
So let's play that country singer. We know Megan Payton's from Dallas. She loves country. She said bet the over. I'll go over. I agree with Stormy. This is your moment. You better make it shine. Why would you run off there?
Okay, Carrie Underwood, though, went 1:47, Super Bowl 44. Luke Bryan, country artist, 2:04 in Super Bowl 51. So 2:05 for Stapleton. I agree with both of you. I think he goes over. Okay, Stormy, great job. What's the vibes like over at the South Point today?
It was hard to park already. It's 6:30 in the morning when we got here. So yeah. I'm just saying, people are going to be filing in all day long.
Stormy, I'm counting on you to count how many hot dogs come out of that cart that day. I'm counting on you to get that answer for me.
Well, we just What's have to see how many I'll eat first and foremost.
You got what now, Stormy? What'd you say?
We'll have to see how many I'll eat first and foremost. It's like one of my... it's right here.
There he goes. Thank you, Stormy. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you in just
Appreciate
a little bit.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Stormy.
Okay, great job by Stormy out at South Point. She's awesome.
Yeah, at least she admits it. I mean, you can't sit there and smell it and not go over and get one.
It was the cart. So what Michael's referring to is where our other broadcast center is, South Point, where Stormy's sitting right behind her, literally right behind her, is, as he calls it, the hot dog cart. The hot dogs are legendary over at the South Point. She came right out the bat with the team scoring within that first 6 minutes. Again, the team that scores first in the Super Bowl has won the game 68% of the time. So that is key. And getting out on that front foot for the Chiefs, again, this Eagles team just really hasn't played from behind. You can pin your ears back as a defensive front and get after the quarterback when you're not trailing.
I just think, to me, if you've never played Philly before, the speed of their offense, the way they run this six-back offense, is challenging. And you must have the ability to set the edge on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You have to set the edge on both sides because you're going to have to defend Hurts from running outside. And so when you set the edge on both sides, you've got to be strong down the middle of your defense. You've got to be able to say, okay, we can run. We're going to be a really good tackling team. And we've got to be able to hold up inside for all the inside stuff that plays off the six-back attack, right? They fake it. They fake the inside zone. They take it out. They push. So you've got to set it. You can't allow him to escape, Hurts meaning.
Right.
So that's really the challenge, and you've got to do a really good job of handling that. And then when it gets to a passing down, Joe Cullen, the defensive line coach for the Chiefs, has got to do a really good job of containing Hurts in the pocket. Now, Cullen's from the swim school. You know what the swim school is, Patrick?
Tell me.
Arm over, get up the field. We're going to rush it. We're going to rush it up the field, and we're not as concerned about lanes. This is a game on both sides of the football where pass rush lanes are critical. You've got to rush the quarterback the right way. You can't just run up the field and in the swim club. Okay, arm over, here I go. I don't care. I run past the quarterback. Worst place to be in football, Patrick, past the quarterback, because he's yet to turn and run that way.
And Mahomes, though, Michael, as far as sack avoidance, nobody's better.
No, and so the Eagles have to do that too now. The Eagles can't run up the field. The Eagles can't run up. And here's what you don't want Mahomes to do is get out right or left. And then, you know, we see the plays with McKinnon where he just flips it over. The off-scripted plays are what separates
Mahomes.
Yes, but
is there a mitigation because of the ankle? I know we've been harping on it. Again, it's been 84 years, but where are you right now?
I think the ankle's fine.
He's fine.
Look, I think what we tend to do is put things into a category and it stays there. So there's all variations of high ankle sprains. And so he probably had a mild one. I thought it was a lot worse when I saw it, and especially when he couldn't put any pressure on it. But he came back. Do I think he gets an injection? I bet he plays this game without an injection. Now, I think if you're Jonathan Gannon, you're going to see, can he drive the ball down the field? He couldn't drive the ball down the field against Cincinnati.
16 and a half rush yards. You saw Matt Eumanns yesterday goes over for Mahomes, so he believes the ankle's good. We saw him 2 days after the injury jump off that podium. He should be fine now, 2 weeks out. Michael Lombardi, go back to the Fangio angle here.
Yeah, well, I just think Vic, look, you know, Vic, the last coach at Denver, it was a Tyreek Hill offense. And so he developed that, you know, he played a lot of two, split safety. And so he didn't want Tyreek Hill to beat him over the top, which he did in Philadelphia when Gannon was there. And so that scheme, if you play that scheme against Mahomes this year, you know, he will go 12 play drives. Look, the key for Gannon is no big plays, right? When Tennessee stayed in that game with no offensive production at all, basically three and outs the entire game, they were able to limit the amount of big plays they gave up. One throw of over 33 yards. And the drive that killed him was when Mahomes scrambled for 20 and then Mahomes scrambled for a touchdown for 14. If Gannon keeps the ball in front of him and forces them to have to work it down the field, he has a better chance to create the negative play and then get off the field.
These are the two best teams as far as from playing in front, the two best teams in first half scoring. The Eagles average 18-2 per half in the first, and the Chiefs 15-5, middle eight. Who do you give the advantage? Explain to the new audience the middle eight as well.
Well, so the middle eight is the last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half. So if you're playing Kansas City, you want to control the middle eight. Because why? Because you want to be able to, if you're down 10 points at the half, going into the final 4 minutes of the half, you want to be able to score a touchdown. Okay, now we're only down three. And then we start the second half. We score another touchdown. Now we're up four. And Mahomes hasn't taken a snap.
Right.
So you want to be able to control the game. Now, this game will be filled with Eagle fans. Typically, when you defer, you're deferring because if you're on the road, it's hard to get your offense going with the snap count because everybody's in their seats waiting for the game to start. It's the loudest the stadium will be until the fourth quarter. But in the second half, everybody's going to the bathroom, buying a hot dog, you know, having two more beers, all that stuff. Right. So the stadium's half empty when you start the second half, and you can get yourself going. Andy Reid has never played attention to the middle eight. He didn't do it against Cincinnati. Had a chance to put that game away. He kept them in the game.
All I know is the big guy to my right, to your left, as long as Shania Twain doesn't show up today, he's going to be in a good mood.
Yeah, that's I can't.
And we can't get into it. No, Millie doesn't want to talk about Shania. Nobody wants to talk about Shania.
I could still see her getting on that stage. Oh, my God.
Couldn't wait for her to get off. And I just so you know, Shania, I love you.
Yeah.
When we come back, more Stormy. Good. Femi's going to join as well. And we got props. We're coming back with our best bets on the props next.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.